Our scripture lesson this evening is going to be from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, and then we'll also read aloud together the answers to questions 91, 92, and 93 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which should be found on the screen or on page 975 in the songbook from which we've just sung. We are working our way through the Christian faith as summarized helpfully by the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which drives us back to the Word of God and helps us understand especially key doctrines in the Christian life. And one of those key doctrines is the doctrine of the sacraments. We're taking, we jumped ahead a couple weeks ago on the occasion of a baptism to consider baptism, but now we're going to step back a little bit and answer the more basic question, that is, what is a sacrament and how do they work for the gifting of grace in God's people? And so toward that end, God gives us a beautiful picture of how he works through means and compares that with a planter or a farmer. And so 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 5, Paul asking the question, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. Amen. And then if you would answer with me these three questions about sacraments, beginning with 91. The question is, how do the sacraments become effectual means of salvation? The sacraments become effectual means of salvation, not from any virtue in them or in them that administer them, but only by the blessing of Christ and the working of his Spirit in them that by faith receive them. Question 92 asks, what is a sacrament? A sacrament is a holy ordinance instituted by Christ, wherein, by sensible signs, Christ and the benefits of the new covenant are represented, sealed, and applied to believers. 93, which are the sacraments of the New Testament? The sacraments of the New Testament are baptism and the Lord's Supper. Good job to everyone else on the reading. Sorry about my bumbling through that. Which was better, the book or the movie? Now, that's not enough information for you to answer the question, is it? But you're probably already thinking about an answer based on certain book, certain movie. Sometimes that's the right question, but not always. If the book and the movie were both done well, they accomplish the same goal of the storyteller by two different media. Our family just experienced that through watching a movie following the book that we read together. And one of the things that we observed, or at least that I observed as we did that, is that often the book is more detailed, right? It would often take 13, 15 or more hours to read the book, where the movie might be an hour and a half or something like that. So you certainly get more detail oftentimes, but the movie is sometimes more emotionally evocative. And you could think of many other examples of how the two different forms of media can communicate compellingly the same truth in two different ways. I'd like to suggest that for a simple understanding of the sacraments, we might see them as the movie version of the written and spoken Word of God. Now, let me appeal in defending that suggestion to Herman Bavinck, who probably didn't think a lot about movies, given the age in which he lived, the very early infant age of moving pictures, or whatever they called them then. But Herman Bavinck, Reformed theologian from the Netherlands, early part of the 20th century, said this: the word signifies and seals Christ to us by the sense of hearing. The sacraments signify and seal Christ to us by the sense of sight. The sacrament grants the same full Christ as the word, and in the same manner, that is, a spiritual manner, by faith, even though the means differ, one being audible and the other visible. That's right, isn't it? The same Christ is offered to us. The same story is presented to us, told to us by God, whether through the word or the sacraments. But one appeals largely to our ears. The other appeals largely to our eyes. And so if the sacraments do present to us the whole Christ, then we need to value them, and we need to try to understand how the sacraments work. And I hope, and you can disregard this if it doesn't work for you, but I hope that understanding the sacraments as a visible presentation of the gospel, or as the movie version of the book of the Word of God that is given to us, I hope will help to simplify what otherwise can be a complex subject. Sacraments can be complex. They have been debated over, certainly since the days of the Reformation, in contest with Rome, but of course long before that the sacraments were debated and discussed and written about, and they can be complex, but we ought to see them as the visual version of the same story that is told by the Word of God. Now, if that's so, it leads us to sort of re-ask the questions that the Catechism set before us that directs us to Scripture. So just two questions, 2 points this evening. First of all, what are the sacraments, dealing with 92 and 93? And then how do the sacraments work, dealing with 91? So what are the sacraments? And I want to try to answer that question by making three observations. And the first two answer the question in terms of what God does in the sacraments. So what are the sacraments in terms of God's working? And then third, focuses on what we do with the sacraments. So what are they in terms of our use of them or our response? So first of all, then, what are the sacraments? Well, sacraments are holy ordinances instituted by Christ. So holy ordinances instituted by Christ. And we're going to focus our attention on, of course, baptism and the Lord's Supper as the two sacraments that fit the definition of sacraments. And we'll see that they are ordinances commanded by Jesus Christ. All right. I hope right off the bat this helps us to recognize why we emphasize sacraments, why preach sermons year after year on the sacraments. Well, because they're commanded by Jesus. Jesus commanded that every one of his disciples be baptized as a sign and seal of their participation in the covenant of grace. And so Jesus, in one of his last earthly instructions, is make disciples, baptizing them. So commanded by Jesus. And of course, just a bit earlier, Jesus commanded the Lord's Supper to be an abiding memorial to his sacrifice for sin and of his promise to return to fully grant his children eternal life. Sacraments, then, are not optional. They're not unimportant. They're not just institutions that the church has come up with because we think they might be helpful in the Christian life. Sacraments are holy ordinances instituted by Jesus. This is also helpful to meditate on this, to help us remember, especially as we find ourselves in an age in which there is a desire to sort of augment what Christ has commanded, or to sort of prioritize those things which we think are helpful in the Christian life, we need to affirm that not every sensory religious experience is a sacrament. There are many sensory religious experiences that may or may not be helpful in the Christian life, but just because we have a sensory experience, it doesn't make it a sacrament, right? We can't declare as sacramental any sort of sensory experience that seems at least to help us connect with God. The apostolic church continued and emphasized the practices of baptism and the Lord's Supper because Jesus commanded them to. So they weren't simply being pragmatic by emphasizing the Lord's Supper and baptism. They were saying, well, there is a mystery connected with baptism and the Lord's Supper. We don't exactly understand how they work, but Jesus believes them to be important. They're commanded by Christ, and so we're going to emphasize baptism and the Lord's Supper. So sacraments are holy ordinances instituted by Christ. The second thing that we recognize in terms of God's working in the sacrament is that they are sensible signs and seals of God's grace. Now, what this means, I think most basically, is that God, as our designer, as our maker, and as our redeemer, understands how we experience truth, how we engage life. And he knows that we are both audible and visible learners. We experience life chiefly, ordinarily, through our eyes and through our ears. Our eyes and our ears are the two main gates through which data enters our minds and hearts as experiences. So actually, the sacraments tell us something chiefly about God. That he understands how we work. He understands how we learn. He understands how we experience life. We hear things that we process through the ears, and we see things that we process through the eyes. And so if God is telling us a story about the gift of forgiveness through his son Jesus Christ, and he wants us to understand that story and experience that story and believe that story, he does well to convey it to our ears and to our eyes. So they are sensible signs of God's grace, but also they are sensible. They symbolize as signs the gospel. They are signs, images of the gospel. That's what Jesus is conveying when he said of the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper, these are my body and blood broken and shed for you. Right? He's not performing a miracle by transforming the bread and the wine into his body. He is giving us a sign. These are symbols of my body and my blood. And he is infusing these symbols with powerful meaning for his disciples. In other words, when you experience by sight and also by feel and by taste, when you experience the bread and the wine, you ought to be thinking of me. Because they're signs of the covenant of grace, as is the water of baptism. Ananias, when he infused the symbol of water with powerful meaning for his disciples, of course, Jesus did so as well. But remember, Ananias tells the Apostle Paul, as he is being converted to Christ, as Paul puts it in Acts 22, telling his own story, Ananias said to Paul, be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What is he doing? He's infusing the symbol of water in baptism with powerful gospel imagery, or meaning rather. The washing away of your sins is symbolized by the water of baptism. So the first thing in terms of sacraments being sensible signs and seals of God's grace is that they are signs, they're symbols. We see the bread and the wine and the water, and we are meant to associate those symbols with God in his grace. And so we understand how this works. Sacraments are sort of like powerful visual icons of the gospel of free grace. Now, I know this won't work for all of us here, but you know, if I say to you, picture a large capital M in yellow. Now, some of you are going to already start salivating. You're going to be thinking about whatever your favorite meal is at McDonald's. But you see that big yellow M, and you instantly know what that means. That's a symbol for a place that you like to eat, maybe. Or you picture a white apple, and you think, well, that's high technology. You think of the Apple Corporation. So we get how icons work. These images are meant to communicate something powerful to us because of what they stand for. And that is how sacraments function as a symbol or as a sign. But sacraments also seal the gospel. They don't just stand in for the gospel. They don't just suggest to us something that we are to think or to believe. They seal the gospel. And Paul uses this language in Romans chapter 4, verse 11. He's talking about Abraham trusting God, believing his promise, even before he was circumcised. But then God says, you shall be circumcised in your body and your sons with you as a seal. Paul says, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised. So Abraham's circumcised flesh was a visible token authenticating the fact that by faith he was righteous before God. And that's how sacraments work as well. Sacraments, someone has written, are seals that God attaches to his word in order to highlight its trustworthiness. Now, of course, for believers, the word of God is not in question. God's word doesn't need to be verified, but for our sakes, as a token of his generosity, God authenticates his promise of the written and spoken gospel by the visible seal of the sacraments. So, you know, to use a common expression, we say seeing is believing. Now, actually, the Bible talks a little bit about that as well. Of course, you should be able to believe without seeing. The book of Revelation said, blessed are those who believe having not seen Jesus. But there is something that happens, isn't there, when we see, when what we have heard with our ears becomes confirmed. Now, this is not a perfect illustration, but remember the Queen of Sheba, remember she was told when she was in her kingdom about all the wealth of Solomon. And the Queen of Sheba says, I didn't really believe everything I heard. I mean, all these stories about piles of gold and wealth and riches and wisdom. And then she came and she saw, and the Bible says that her heart fainted within her. And then she said to Solomon, the half of what was told me, it wasn't enough. But now I've seen it and I know it to be true. It's a little bit like how the sacraments function in our lives. We feel that seeing is believing, and that's why God gives sacraments. So it's really a testimony to the goodness of God to seal what he didn't have to confirm because he had spoken, and that was enough, but God is good, and so he gives us sacraments. So in terms of answering the question, what is a sacrament, we can say that they are holy ordinances instituted by Christ. They are sensible signs and seals of God's grace. That in terms of what God does in the sacrament. But third, in terms of answering that question, what is a sacrament? We could say that they are opportunities for believers to confess their faith and love. Right? God is speaking to us in the gospel and visibly communicating with us in the sacraments. And God expects then a response. Just like every good conversation, you know, faith is a response to God's goodness. It's a true conversing with God and his kindness. Herman Bavinck also said this, every observance of the sacrament is an act of covenant renewal. a vow of faithfulness, an oath that obligates those who take it to engage in the service of Christ. So it isn't, just like preaching, it isn't just something that we hear and leave it be. Just like in the sacraments, it isn't something that we see and let it be. It's a covenant renewal ceremony that obligates us to respond, to engage in the service of Christ. And so by faith, through baptism, we wash away our sins, to use Ananias's communication to Paul in Acts 22, verse 16. And we put on Christ, to use Paul's language in Galatians 3, verse 27. We actually do something. Right? In the Lord's Supper, believers truly commune with Jesus, genuinely fellowship with the Son of God, 1 Corinthians 10 teaches us. So, like the spoken gospel, the sacraments don't allow us to be passive, to be mere observers. In fact, the sacraments, by their visual nature, draw us in, to use another sense. They invite us to embrace Christ and rededicate ourselves in love to Him. So, if this is what a sacrament is, we understand then why in the Protestant tradition, baptism and the Lord's Supper alone fit the biblical definition of a sacrament. They take the place explicitly in Scripture of circumcision and the Passover, marking both our entrance into Christ, baptism, and our growth and perseverance in Him, namely the Lord's Supper. You may be aware that throughout the centuries, the Roman Catholic Church added sacraments. There was sort of the fact of accretion over time. More sacraments were added by the Church throughout the centuries, as Michael Horton explains, as it increasingly saw itself rather than God as the dispenser of grace. And so there were added to the number of sacraments, the so-called sacrament of confirmation, of penance, of ordination to special offices, the sacrament of marriage, and of extreme unction, blessing at or after death. Now, we ought to understand when we look at that longer list, that list that the Catholic Church holds of seven sacraments, that there are two deficiencies with five of the sacraments. And they are either then not commanded by Christ, which is true certainly of baptism, of marriage. Marriage is good, right? But it's not commanded. So marriage cannot be a sacrament because it's not commanded by Christ. You may marry or you may not marry. Or holy orders, right? It's good if you're called into the ministry. That's a good thing. And then you ought to be recognized into that position. But it's not a command of Jesus Christ. So some of the so-called sacraments fall short by either not being commanded by Christ, or are not signs and seals of the covenant of grace. And so, for example, penance, or at least true penitence, is commanded by Christ, but it's not a sign or seal of the covenant of grace. And so that is our attempt to answer the question, what are the sacraments? They're holy ordinances instituted by Christ, sensible signs and seals of God's grace, and opportunities for believers to confess their faith and love to God. Now, the next big question is this, well, how do the sacraments work? What's going on when we experience the sacrament, and how are they activated, you might say, to become effective? That was really what question answer 91 asked. And the answer is given to us in two ways. So how do the sacraments work saving grace? First of all, in a more negative form, well, not because of any power in them or in Him who administers them. So it's not that there's sort of packets of power, or that the person administering them is powerful enough to make them effective unto salvation. So this is the negative answer, and you might translate that into saying, don't trust the sacrament. Don't put your trust in the sacrament. Don't expect that that sacrament itself contains the ability to do to work grace in you. In the Roman Catholic tradition, sacraments work, again, I'm quoting Bovink here, sacraments work magically and physically by virtue of a power granted to the priest by God. But sacraments are not containers of grace which qualified administrators pour into the recipient, automatically making people holy. So they're not containers of grace, neither are the sacraments extensions of the character of the one administering them. So it's not as though the priest, by virtue of his character, is able to make the sacraments effective. In fact, the Apostle Paul thanked God. He says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I thank God that I didn't baptize more than a few of you. And he lists off a few individuals or families that he recalled having baptized. And it seems the reason is because Paul didn't want all kinds of people to think that their baptism was more effective than everybody else's baptism in the church. You know, you can just imagine, it's not hard at all to imagine people saying, you know, I was baptized by the Apostle Paul. Who were you baptized by? Oh, you were only baptized by Apollos? Or maybe you were baptized by some no-name minister. We don't even remember who it is. I mean, probably many of us, to be honest, don't remember the name of the minister that we were baptized by. And Paul says, that's all right. In fact, that's a good thing. This is so important, what Paul says here, because it keeps us from a superstitious approach to the sacraments, as if there was power vested in the sacrament or in the person administering them. We don't take comfort in the sacrament, in the fact that we were baptized or that we received the elements of the supper. We take comfort by the sacraments in Jesus, whom they symbolize. So we have to make sure that we understand this. That's why I can't remember. One of our forms for the celebration of the Lord's Supper urges us not to cling to the earthly elements. Don't cling to the bread, to the wine, to the water of baptism, but rather cling to Jesus, whom these sacraments point to. So we don't want to cling to the reputation of the minister who baptized us or the traits of the earthly elements. We cling to Christ. I think a little bit like, to go back to that opening illustration, you know, there is nothing inherently redeeming about the format of a movie, right? Just something being made into a movie doesn't make it good, right? We've seen plenty of stories told poorly on film. Just because it's a moving picture, just because things are happening on a screen that we can see, doesn't redeem it. Doesn't make it worth watching. And so the same thing in terms of the sacraments, what makes the bread and the wine and the water of baptism and the Lord's Supper special is the story that they tell. And the story that they tell is a story about God's redemptive work in Jesus Christ. And so, how do the sacraments work saving grace? Not because of any power in them or in him who administers them, but positively now by the blessing of Christ and the working of his Spirit in those who receive them in faith. That's how sacraments become effective to salvation, by the blessing of Christ, the working of his Spirit in those who receive them in faith. So in other words, positively now, don't disparage the sacraments. By the grace of God, they work because God works through them. Sacraments train us to expect Christ to make those sacraments effective. So whether it's baptism or the Lord's Supper, what they do is they direct our eyes to Jesus and we say, Lord, because of what you are showing us here and sealing to us, we expect you to work savingly among us. The administration, then now to finally go back to 1 Corinthians 3, those verses that we read earlier, the administration of sacraments can be likened to the task of a farmer planting a field. This is the image that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. The farmer plants. The farmer cultivates the soil. The farmer waters. The farmer weeds. And of course, Paul left out all kinds of tasks that the farmer does that are you know, hands-on, hard work. But then he goes on to say that God supplies the growth. And this is true of the gospel that we hear, that is preached, which Paul is talking about here. Paul, primarily with Apollos, was a preacher. He said, I didn't baptize much, but I planted, Apollos watered, God supplied the increase. We preached, and you might, he might have added, we also sometimes administered sacraments. But God provided the increase. The minister baptizes. He and the elders oversee the Lord's table, but God so works that his elect do embrace Christ and his righteousness and receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life through the sacraments. And so we ought to say then the sacraments are important. That's why we preach on them regularly throughout the year. The sacraments, along with the preaching of God's word, are his appointed and approved ways of growing in grace, his means of grace. And they ought to be then the places that we put ourselves in. We could say, to use Paul's analogy in 1 Corinthians 3 of the farmer, we could say, certainly it's possible for a corn plant to grow in a rocky crag, watered by only occasional rain. That's possible. We've seen it, right? We've seen trees or other plants growing in weird places where you wouldn't think they'd be able to grow. I remember there was a sidewalk one time. We were walking in our former city, and there's a tomato plant growing out of the sidewalk of all places in front of a pizzeria. And you think, that is incredible, that the tomato plant is growing through this crack in the sidewalk. But nobody would say, well, therefore, that's how we should plant tomatoes. Right, this is just some strange miracle that the Lord has done here. But if you really want tomatoes, you don't plant them in the cracks of a sidewalk. You plant them in fertile, well-worked, well-watered fields. And that's what God is saying to us. My fertile, well-watered fields is that place where the word of God is preached to your ears and is conveyed to you through the sacraments. That's where you want to be, right? If you want to grow in grace, if you want to produce fruit, you want to put yourself in that place, God's prescribed means of nurturing and confirming faith. And so we trust him when he tells us how he's going to work, how he promises to work. Being sprinkled by or dipped into water doesn't make a person more like Jesus alone. Neither does eating and drinking a little bread and wine. But by God's grace, sacraments work in those who commit themselves to God's care, trust in his righteousness, and commit to live in newness of life. So God's call to us this evening, as we hear about this visible gospel, the moving picture of the Bible, that beautiful companion, the visual story that's otherwise verbal to us, is encouraging. He's saying, use the sacraments to see Christ, to trust in Christ, and to receive Christ until that day when we'll no longer need signs or seals. After all, that's what sacraments are. They picture to us what we cannot see, and they seal to us what we aren't certain of yet. But the day is coming for all of God's children when we will be with Christ, and the sign and the seal will have done their work, and God's people will enter into that blessed promise because of the working of God in his Spirit through the word and the sacraments. Let's pray together. You are so good, O Lord. You are so good because you know how you've made us. You know what we need to fully understand, comprehend, trust in your word to us. And so we thank you for both. the spoken and the pictured story of Jesus and his grace. And we pray that we would grow in appreciation of the Word of God, in submitting ourselves to Scripture and to the sacraments, to respond to the Word of God by being encouraged and comforted and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, and confirming and affirming the vows that we made to you in our baptism and through our profession of faith, so that we would become more faithful in our lives, having had the gospel confirmed to us. We thank you that though ministers plant and water, you supply the grace. You make up for our deficiencies in the administration of the sacraments, as well as in our reception of the sacraments. Continue to supply grace to us, O Lord, through the word and sacraments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.